Let's discuss a little bit more about this topic of the working Jew, and particularly about cultivating the world, building the world of Hashem, being a partner in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and building his earth. So I like to connect it to the Parsha, because there's always something on the Parsha that connects to this particular Inyan. So there's an Ishbitzer in the beginning of Kisavo, and we'll get to Nitzavim afterwards. But the Ishbitzer writes, you don't have this in front of you, the Meshiloach writes that in yesterday's parsha it says V'igati Hayom LaHashem. Then it came to the Bikurim, and the farmer bring his first fruits of the season, his Shivas Aminim. So V'igati Hayom, he begins to make his whole statement. There's a whole statement that he recites, and Ishbitzer points out that the Lashon Haggadah, V'igati Hayom Haggadah, is Romez Al Dvarim Hakashim. It refers to a harsh way of speaking. It's a very strange way to speak to the Kohen in such a harsh way. So he says, the idea is, ki bazeh omer dvarim kashim neged ha-kohen, because the farmer is speaking very harshly to the kohen. Why? What did the kohen do to deserve such a harsh tone? Ki merameis la-kohen, he's hinting to the kohen, af ki ha-kohen ovid b'beis ha-migdash. The kohen's working his whole life in the beis ha-migdash. V'hu ovid b'sadeh, I'm working in the field. Now, one of the things that really motivated me to give these shiurim is because many people leave yeshiva and they feel like a failure. And they think that people in yeshiva look down upon them, and they probably do. And the Rosh Yeshivas make them feel like a failure. And the Bnei Yeshiva and the Bnei Kol make them feel like a failure because, listen, I'm learning all day. I'm better than you are. You're stuck in the world of working as whatever you're working as a doctor, lawyer, actuary, accountant, businessman. And I'm a Kohen, I'm a Choshev Kohen, I'm the rabbi, I'm in Kolel. What are you guys busy wasting your time with? So what Ishbitzer explains here, that this farmer is being meramis to the Kohen, that even though you're the Kohen working in the base of Migdash, and I'm a guy working in the field, sweating a lot. Im kol zeh, kashu yagiu ha-nefesh mi-Yisrael l'makom ha-Migdash. When the nefesh mi-Yisrael, when this farmer gets to the base of Migdash and he brings the Bikurim, as mevarer ki b'chol makom haya b'kedusha k'ma kohen ha-oved. You think only you have Kedusha where you work in the base of Migdash? I'm bringing these fruits. I'm dedicating this to you, to the base of Migdash. I have just as much Kedusha where I work in the Sada as you do to the Kohen. And he's giving Musar to the Kohanim. He's giving Musar to the rabbis, to the Rosh Yeshivas, that I'm just as equal as you are, if not perhaps even greater. And we'll see at the end perhaps why working outside the base of Migdash, outside the base of Medrash, might be even greater to a certain extent than those learning in the base of Medrash. Now, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not telling you really who's better. I'm just giving you different perspectives, as you shouldn't feel like a failure. So that's the Higati Hayom, the Musar to the Rabbi, the Musar to the Kohen. Now, I'm not telling you guys to give Musar to Rabbis or to Kohanim, but this is the message according to the Ishbitzer, what's going on here. So let's talk about what exactly is so special about the idea of working. What's so special about this? That's also Avodas HaKodesh. Last week we discussed how there are messages that Kadosh Baruch Hu sends us, whether we should be working, whether we should be working or learning. So take a look at the number one, the first source here on the Mar Makomos, Tosos and Psachim Daf Nun Amun Aleph. It's a Tosos I've quoted before. I like it. You may have heard this before from me. The Mishnah there is talking about Erev Pesach. Now, Erev Pesach, the Mishnah says, Makom Shenagu, there's a minog not to do malacha on Erev Pesach. And what's the reason why we don't do malacha Erev Pesach? So Rashi explains, because it's a busy day. It's a busy day. You're not going to go tell your wife, I'm going to go play tennis this afternoon, Erev Pesach, because she needs your help. She's cooking. You're, you know, bidikas chametz in the morning, burning the chametz, everything. And then, together. The afiyas ha-matzah, you bake the matzah, there's into baked matzahs, Erev Pesach. And then there's a Karban Pesach. So there's a lot going on. Even without the Beis HaMikdash, without the Karban Pesach, there's still plenty to do on Erev Pesach. So the reason why you can't do melacha is because there's a lot to do. You're just busy with the Erev Pesach. But Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi. If you look inside number one here, the Tosfos says it's not because you're busy doing things like bir chametz, afiyas hamatzah. The reason is, he says, Omer ri b'shem riva. The mifarish b'Yerushalmi, if you look in the Yerushalmi asks, Ma'ishna arvei psachim mishar yamim tovim. There's no iser of malacha erev Shavuos. There's no iser malacha erev Rosh Hashanah, erev Yom Kippur, erev Sukkos. Why dafka erev Pesach? Mishum, Dizman ha-Pesach mechatzos ve'elach. Because the Karban Pesach is brought from noon and on. And what he's trying to get at here is, Af yachid kamar hasem b'shar yimos ha-shana b'yom she'mevi karban aser b'mlacha. The day you bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, it becomes a yomtif for you. It becomes a yomtif, And where there's a yontif, it's asa to do malacha. You don't do malacha on Shabbos, you don't do malacha on Rosh Hashanah, you don't do malacha on Chol HaMoed to a certain extent. And the day you bring a carbon is also a little bit of a yontif. I'll give you an example. One of the proofs that Tosas doesn't bring, but the other Rishon bring, there's a Gemara in Tainus, that various families would dedicate wood, firewood, to the Beis HaMikdash. And that was considered a sacrifice. Even though it wasn't an animal, they brought Eitzim to the Beis HaMikdash. And the day they brought Eitzim was considered a little bit of a yontif for that family. So there was one family, I don't remember the name, I don't have the Gemara in front of me, but the one family would have the day they dedicate the Eitzim was the 10th of Av. Okay. So then what happens when Tisha B'Av falls out on a Shabbos? So that means we celebrate, or we don't celebrate, but we practice, we fast on Sunday, which is the 10th of Av. So what does this family do that they're bringing the Eitzim on the 10th of Av, which for them is a Yontif, but for everyone else it's a fast day because it's a Nidche. And the Gemara says they only fast half a day because it's a Yontif for them. Because the day you dedicate something to the Beis HaMikdash, whether it be Eitzim, whether it be Karbanos, it's a Yontif. So too, the Yushalmi says, the reason why there's an Isser Er Pesach is because you bring a Karban Pesach, and that's a Yontif. Okay. Then he asks, the Yushalmi says further, if you look down four lines in this Tosos, the first word is Harbayim, Uparich asks the Yushalmi, Im Kain, Karban Tamid Shu L'chol Yisrael, V'kari B'chol Yom Yehei B'chol Yom Asim Malacha. Every single day in the Beis HaMikdash there's a Karban Tamid in the morning, and there's a Tamid in the afternoon. And we all have a chalek in the carbon tamid because we gave a machzir shekel. So now this tamid is being brought for me, it's being brought for you and everyone else. So shouldn't that be a yantif? Every single day there's a carbon tamid. It means every single day is a yantif. It means every single day it should be aser to do malacha, asks the Yushalmi.
I agree.
Yep, very good. The Yushalmi disagrees. The Yushalmi says, Umishani shiny tamid. The Torah is different. Because the Torah says, Hotziu min haklal, dichsiv v'asafta digenecha. The pasuk says someone has to cultivate the land. Someone has to work the land. Someone has to gather the grains. Vim kol yisrael yoshin v'betelim. If the entire world was sitting in kolel, not working. Again, no one get the impression that I'm against kolel. I'm still in kolel. So I guess, to a certain extent. So I'm not against kolel, chas v'sham. But if the entire world, says the Yushalmi, im kol yisrael yoshin v'betelim, Mi yasof lehen dagan. Who's going to collect the grains? Who's going to do this? So clearly built into the world is an idea of v'asafta digenecha. We have to cultivate the land. We have to work. We have to grow. We have to build buildings. We have to, whatever we're involved in helping society grow, that's the way the Torah was made, the way the world was made, the fabric of the world. It's a different ending. We could talk about a different topic, not for now. But I want to get a chumash. Could I just get a chumash quickly? Thanks, love. Right here. Truth is, I got one, Mikey. Thanks. So this idea of working the land, and this is a mitzvah, v'asafta digenecha, there's also a mitzvah we know when Adam and Chava were created, before they entered into, before leaving Gan Eden, before the chait, so the pasuk says, l'avdo l'shamra, that they have to work the land. They have to keep it, they have to preserve the land. That was the way the world was created. It says, "Va'yikach Hashem Elokim es Adam, ve'yanicheyu v'gan Eden." He placed Adam in Gan Eden, la'avda u'lishamra, to work the land, to preserve the land. This is the way the man's obligation is to work. There's a mitzvah in working the land.
But that was in Gan Eden itself, even before they got kicked out.
This was even before kicked. We'll talk about after they got kicked out, but even before they got kicked out, there was a mitzvah, la'avda u'lishamra. Now, to be intellectually honest, the Medrash says that refers to keeping the mitzvahs and preserving the mitzvahs, Mrs. Asay. Which is low sasei. But we also can't, Yotzi Mipshutak, the Pasuk says, La'avdu l'shamra, which literally means to work the land. So that's the understanding, there's an in to work the land. And if you take a look at number two, the Chovas HaLevavos, he writes, V'haldimyon hazeh timsa midos b'nei adam, you have certain attributes of a person, v'gufosom, their bodies, muchanos l'scharos l'mlachos, they have a certain knack for business, for malacha. They're good at carpentry. They're good at, engineering. They're good at different things in the world. That's how they've been programmed. Umisha motzi b'midosov, if a person finds that his qualities, v'tivo, and his nature, kosef el malacha, kosef el lashon of, he's drawn towards malacha, kesef is to have a desire for something, he's kosef el malacha, mehamlachos, he has a certain interest in plumbing, electric, building, construction, v'yegufa roi lo, and his body is capable of handling the malacha. V'yuchal lishabel tircha, he could withstand the effort needed. Yechadzer aleh v'yasim also, he should chase after this. He should follow his heart, his desire in this regard. V'yasim also sibel abba mizono v'yisabel moska mirirosa. He should be able to withstand the sweetness and the bitterness, the ups and downs of business. V'yikotz, he shouldn't cut off and remove himself. Kishiyimne mimenu atarif, when he can't make parnasa, don't let him be drawn away. B'ktasitim, sometimes business is bad. Ach yivtach b'elokim, trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Sheyaspik lo tarfo ko yimei chayav. That he should be, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to provide. Now, in terms of bitachon, a couple of us were at a beautiful Tish Friday night, a little Shabbaton. I don't remember the name of the organization, the yeshiva. Remember it, Mikey? Shar? There's a yeshiva run by Rabbi Meir Hurwitz. It's a program within Shai Yashiv. Around 10 guys who took off from college or work with a very weak background to learn, to learn and spend time in yeshiva, some weeks, months. And they had a little Shabbaton here in Woodmere, so they invited me to speak Friday night at this tish. And so we all went around the room discussing our own experiences in work and learning and struggles and challenges. So a friend of mine, Dan Klein, who happened to grow up on the same street as me in Teaneck, was a chavrusa of mine in yeshiva for a little bit. So he shared an incredible, incredible maisa about this bitachon. When sometimes things are down, we shouldn't give up and say, okay, business isn't for us. So he was saying that he was studying to be a doctor. He wanted to be an eye doctor. And it's very hard to get a position in residency as an eye doctor as a Shomer Shabbos program. He was committed. He didn't want to sacrifice Shomer Shabbos. He wasn't going to work. And he, I'm sure, did very well in school. He didn't say this, but he's a smart guy. I'm sure he did very well. So at every interview, when he told them, I can't work on Saturday, they said, I'm sorry, we can't accept you. So he got completely rejected from every residency for being an eye doctor. He wasn't sure what to do. He just couldn't, there were no Shomer Shabbos programs for him. Or he could go to the Square Rebbe and get a bracha, which is what he did. And his wife took him to the Square Rebbe. He said she has a friend who will go to him and great advice, great brachas, so he's not that type. But he went, and they went to New Square, and the Rebbe spoke to him, and he was impressed. Dan Klein was impressed how much the Rebbe knew about medicine. And he said, everything's going to work out, you'll see, and he gave him a nice long bracha. I think it was the next morning, that was the impression, the very next morning. Dan wakes up late for davening. He doesn't wake up late for davening ever. And he woke up and went to a minyan he would never, ever go to. So he ends up in this minyan, so he woke up late, fine. So he davens in this minyan. After davening, the guy next to him said, Shalom Aleichem, what's your name? And it turns out this guy also never would go to this minyan either. He also woke up late and went to a minyan he would never go to either. So the two of them are standing next to each other after davening. What in the world are you doing here at this late minyan? Not knowing each other. So the guy asks Dan, what do you do? He says, well, you know, I finished medical school. I'm looking for a residency and as an eye doctor. He says, you know, I'm the head of whatever hospital in radiology, and we have a Shomer Shabbos program, come to me. And that's what he did. And there you go. He became a radiologist instead of an eye doctor, and he got a job just like that. He had a little bitachon, he went to a bracha from a Rebbe, and that's what happened. If you have bitachon, which he had, it leads to wonderful things. So that's the level a person needs when they work, when they're working to have bitachon, that things will always be good, even when things are down. And then he says the last line, the last two lines in the bold of the Chovos HaLevavos, Shetziva ha'adam lis'asek b'sibos ha'olam, that man is commanded to work the land, ka'avodas ha'adama, like working the land and cultivating it, and the charishas of Zriyasa and planting and plowing. As it says in the pasuk, he quotes, Vayikach Hashem elokim es ha'adam, vayanicheyu began eden lo'avda, u'lisham. So there's an inyan of working the land, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded Adam to work the land. Now, this was all prior to the chait of Adam and Chava. After the chait of Adam and Chava, things got a little bit worse, because Chava was given her curse, and the Nachash was given his curse, and Adam was also given his curse. And what's Adam's curse? Bezeis hapecha, that you're going to sweat to work this land. So now, one of the things you're taught in yeshiva is not only are you a failure because you can't be a rabbi, you can't sit in kolel, and you're busy wasting your time just making money, you're also fulfilling the curse of Bezeis HaPecha. This is the curse. So you want to live the world of the curse, you do want to live the world of prior to the curse. So these are some of the feelings that one might feel when going to work. So there is a Tikkuni Zohar based on this week's parsha. Atam Yitzavim, it tells us that Rashi points out right in the beginning that Klal Yisrael is so scared of all the klalos that we just received. And Lama Nismecha Parshas Atem Nitzavim Leklalos, asks Rashi. Why is Nitzavim right after the Tochecha? Because Sheshamu Yisrael Mea Klalos, they heard 100 minus 2, which is 98 klalos they just heard. Aside from the 49 klalos that they heard in Bechukosai, the earlier Tochecha, Horiku Pneim Vamru, they were so scared, says Rashi, Mi Yuchal La'amud Be'il, who could withstand the curses? Hischa Moshe, the Faisa Moshe says, Atem Nitzavim Hayom, are you standing? Are you guys alive? Are you awake? You're fine. Everything's okay. Harbe Achastim Lamakum, many people angered Hashem, V'lo'aseh Eschem Kliya. Yeah, I didn't wipe them out. He's just playing with you. It's empty threats. Not to worry. Hare Atem Mekayim Lefanav, you're standing in front of us. Everything's fine. Don't worry.
Somebody used the language empty threats?
That's what I used.
Oh.
So Tikkuni Zohar writes, there is a maisa with Rabbi Shimon and his chavraya, the chabura kadisha. They read this tochecha b'chukosai, and then the b'chukosai afterwards, after all the klalos, it says some nechama. There's a period of where we start, you know, speaking happy again. V'af gamzos biosim be'eretz aveyam lo maasim lo galtim lachalosim. You're going to be great. You're going to be fantastic. Zacharti lem bris rishonim. I remember the bris from beforehand. That was in Bechukosai. But in the Tochecha in Kisavo, there's no Nechama. It's just like 98 curses and you guys are done. Where's the Nechama? So the Zohar explains that the Chavraya, the Chavra Kadisha of Rashbi, were sitting around all disturbed. And Rabbi Shimon wasn't with him. Rabbi Shimon was away in the Ma'ariv. He was in the cave. Ilu Rabbi Shimon Hayakan, had Rabbi Shimon been here, Yachol Lesayo Biyadin, he could help us. What's going on? How are we going to handle the klalos? But he's hidden in the cave. We don't know where he is. Rabbi Yossi was one of the members of the Chavraya. So he saw a chabur of Yonim, it says. There were a group of Yonim that flew down near where they were hanging out. And Rabbi Yossi understood that there was one particular Yonah that was Miuchad, something different about this Yonah. So he walks over to the Yonah. And he says to the Yonah, now we have Gemara's, Gemara and Gittin, that certain tzaddikim understood bird language. There was a mice in Gittin about Rav Elish, I think it was. Rav Elish understood the ravens and the Yonahs. So Rav Yossi walks over to the Yonah and says to him, Yonah, Yonah, Harei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kfar Asa Nisim Darkech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu already used you to do incredible Nisim. Noach Hishtamish Bach L'Shlichas Noach. Utilize your co-host for a certain message, a certain mission. L'chein ritzoni la'asoseich gamata shlicha. I want to make you a shliach as well for Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And he wrote a shaila to Rabbi Shimon, what's pshat with the klalos? Put it in the mouth of the Yonah. The Yonah flew off and went to Rabbi Shimon and presented the shaila. Rabbi Shimon opens up the note from the Yonah and says, Oy vavoy, ha-chachamim einam yodim pshat. They don't understand pshat of the tochecha. So the Zohar explains that that Eliyahu Navi appeared to Rabbi Shimon every single day, and that day he appeared to him, and he said, "We need to answer this question, Rabbi Yossi, and you have to understand Dalacha Shebechol Haklalos, and all the klalos, Tmunos Gam Brachos Gedolos. In a hidden way, every klala has a bracha enveloped within it. Now it's hard to go through one by one what that bracha is." We may not appreciate this until the Mashiach comes, but we have to accept that every klala has a bracha. So I want to give you an example of the Gemara in Mori Katan. Take a look inside in number 3. An example of a klala that really, in fact, is a bracha. And the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yonah son ben Asmi, Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim, were learning once Parshas Nedarim in the base Medjugorje Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Now keep in mind, this is the same Rabbi Shimon from the Zohar. So they were learning the base medrash Rabbi Shimon, and if the minei beorsa they left that evening, they were going to go back home, and the tzah for the next morning hadar v'kam iftar minei they rent him the morning again to Rabbi Shimon were leaving. So Amar Lahu Rabbi Shimon says lav iftarisu minei beorsa, didn't you say bye to me last night? Why are you saying bye to me a second time? And Amar Lahu, so these great tzaddikim said to Rabbi Shimon, Limaratenu Rabbeinu. Rabbeinu taught us, Talmud shenifta mirabo, v'lon ve'osair. If a Talmud leaves his Rebbe, and he sleeps over that night, tzarech liftar mimenu pamachar. So he needs to go back to the Rebbe to wish him well. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, b'yom ha'shmini shlach ha'am, v'arivarechu ha'melech v'kasa v'chavayom, esr min l'shol shalachodesh, fine. So then he says, going further, Elamikan el Talmud niftar rabo b'osair, tzarech liftar mimenu pamachar, amrle livrei. Rabbi Shimon turns to his son and says, "Bnei Adam Halalu, these great people are Anashim Shel Tzurahim. They have a certain dignity, a certain tzidkus to them. Zil Gavayun Delivruchuch. Go to them and get a bracha from them." Okay? So his son listened to his father, the tzaddik Rabbi Shimon, went to get a bracha. So he was going there. I cut out some of the Gemara. He was there and he observed them talking and learning. He was just waiting for them to stop learning. And they turned to him and said, a young boy, Amrilei, my ba'is hacha, what are you doing here? So he says to them, Amrilu, damrili abba, my father, Rabbi Shimon, told me, zil gavayu, dilevrechuch, we should go to you to get a bracha. Okay? So he said, fine. Amrilei, they gave him the following bracha. Yehei rava, detizra v'losechsad, you should be zocha to plant, but not reap. Ta'ayil, you should be able to bring in inventory v'lo tape, you can never sell the inventory. Tepik v'lo tayil, to take out, never bring in. Lichruv besach, destroy your house. V'leisev u'shpizach, and let your place be inhabited with the people and overcome with the guests. L'vava psarach, to ruin your table. Lo techse shata chadasa, not to complete a full year. So this was not quite the bracha they were anticipating. So kiyasa l'gabbe avua, they went back home, he went back to his father. Amrle, your Bishma is so excited, so Zonu, what was the bracha they gave you? These great Adam Bnei Tzadikim. So he says, Lo mi bai devruchalam of Birchen, not only did they not bless me, about Tzure Tzaren, he caused me pain. He scared me. He scared the living daylights out of me. They cursed me that I shouldn't live past the year. My family should be destroyed. So Amrle, my Amrach, Rabbi Shimon says, What did they say to you? V'hachi, v'hachi, Amrle, he repeated back every klala that they gave him. Rabbi Shimon says, no, Amrle, Hanach Kula Birchasaninu. They're all brachas. The same Rabbi Shimon in Tikkuni Zohar that says that all 98 Tochachos, Klaus, are all brachas, he's the same one in the Gemara Morikata, and that this is a bracha. And let me explain to you how they're brachas. So he goes through. He says, Tizra lo techzar, to plant but not plow. That means tolid banim, to plant, to have zera, to have children. Liyamusa, they shouldn't die. Tile v'lo tepek, to take in, but not to bring out. That means tile kolasa, to bring a daughter-in-law into your house. V'lo lemoso b'nacht lefkin, and not to die. Tepek v'lo tile, that person should bring out and not take in. That means tole bansa, to give birth to a daughter. V'lo lemoso, she shouldn't die. And govrayu, and her husband, lehadu levasech, her husband shouldn't die, so she doesn't come back in. You want to send your daughter off so she gets married, never returns back to your home. That's what it means. Lichro Besach, that your house should be destroyed, v'leisav u'shpazach, that means the high alma u'shpizach, because this world is a temporary world, v'alma besa, and the future, loss of love is going to be the olam, that's going to be the bias. Goes on to explain how each line here was really, really a bracha, and that means your bed should be all flipped over, that means having children, boys and girls running around your house, it's a bracha. I say to my wife often, when things get crazy, I said, this is a bracha. When the house is crazy, that's the bracha of the Gemara Morikatan. You want the house to be crazy, with kids jumping all over the place and screaming and yelling and breaking things. That's a bracha.
What was the house one but the next world?
That the house should be destroyed, he explains here, that the high ulma ushpizach, that this world is a temporary dwelling, and v'hai alma besa, in the future. So your house, this house, the world that we live in right now, should be temporary. It should be destroyed, so it should be zocha to have the olam haba. That's how he explains it. But we see from here that Rabbi Shimon's Midah was understanding that every klala is really, in fact, a bracha. Now, we can't always see this. So now, going back to our point here, the Zayas HaPecha, which was a curse, must really be a bracha of some sort. And what's the bracha of Zayas HaPecha? So, we know that the Kadosh Baruch Hu allows us to partake in certain parts of creation, Ma'aseh Bereishis. We celebrate this. Vayechula Shemayim V'aretz, Friday nights, we say we're testifying that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and we're partners, says the Gemara, with the Kadosh Baruch Hu creating the world. A bris milah is a great a great expression of this involvement of Bryas Olam. Having children is a great expression of creating. And Bris Milah on top of that as well. Well, Kadosh Baruch Hu created a child that's not fully complete, and man has the right to continue to create the world, create people. So just like creating of children and helping with the Bris Milah, completing the body, is a partnership with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, so too building the world. The Kadosh Baruch Hu plants trees. The Kadosh Baruch Hu plants flowers, fruits, vegetables. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is allowing us to do the same thing he did. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, doesn't build buildings like we do, but he gave us the ability, whether it's science, whether it's engineering, to build things. He gave us the tools to do so. And B'zeh HaSapecha, even though it sounds like a curse, it's really, really a bracha. The Rav Soloveitchik had this idea. He wanted to know why he was benching the only time when we only bench when we have bread. Why don't we bench after we have fruit, after we have vegetables, after we drink water? Dafka, when we have bread, is when we bench. So he explains, because when I take a fruit off the tree, an apple off the tree, I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this. I had very little to do with this apple. When you're having an apple tree, it doesn't require that much involvement. You plant an apple seed, and it grows, it takes time, and you have to deal with the squirrels or whatever else to deal with. But when you plant wheat, so it first takes time, you have to hope it rains, and then it grows, then you have to cut it. My brother-in-law and I, Ruby, and I went to once, a few years ago, we went to make matzah. We wanted to make matzah from beginning to end. So we didn't plant the wheat. But when the wheat grew, we did the ktsira. So we cut the wheat, we separated the wheat, we ground the meat, we sifted the wheat, we kneaded the wheat, we made the matzah, and the matzah wasn't very good. It ended up being pasul. But either way, if you were to get to the point where it was edible, whether it be bread or matzah, you could start from the Zoreya, Tcharesh, Zoreya, Bora, Emirakate, and 11 stages, I made this bread. Like, you could think you are all that because I did everything. What did Kadosh Baruch Hu do? He did nothing. Hey, let it rain, fine. But other than that, I did everything from growing it, from... So Dafka there, when you think you did everything, you need to be reminded that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you that potential. But he gave you the potential to be involved in creating the world. Like, he makes the apples and you make the bread, but it's because you're a partner with cultivating the world and building the world around us. So B'zeh HaSapecha, although it sounds like a curse, it's really a bracha to be involved in the Kadosh Baruch Hu's world. It reminded me a lot of something we discussed a number of years ago. I don't know who was there or who even remembered this. But there's a fascinating tziv on Luchos Rishonos and Luchos Shnios on Yushalmi versus Bavli. And if I were to ask any of you, which is a greater set of Luchos, the first or the second? I would imagine you would all say, like I would say, the first is really the best one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ma'is Elokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote it himself. And the second one, Moshe, you deal with it. Psalacha, you chisel it out. I'm not involved in this one. It's your punishment. And on the surface, it sounds like the second Luchos were the worst. But then Siv explains that, no, that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. He showed you what a Luchos Rishonos should look like. This is how I do it. And let's see how you do it. Let's see you try to replicate what I accomplished. And Moshe sat there chiseling away with Ksav and Ma'is Elokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the chance to chisel away that amelis, that we're able to be involved. Although it sounded like a curse, breaking the Luchos, the Chet HaEgel, it was an incredible bracha. And he uses this model of Luchos Rishonos to Luchos Shnios to parallel to Bavli Yushalmi. Without getting involved in all the sugyas, the Yushalmi, all over Shas, the Yushalmi seems to be a much higher level learning of Limud than the Bavli. The Bavli is in a place of darkness, says the Gemara. It's a place which the Pasuk says, Kimeisei Olam, where people die, and it's deep and dark, and there's no... And Eretz Yisrael has Avira, Dari, Yisrael, Machkim. Eretz Yisrael makes you smarter, but just by being there. So Yushalmi has to be greater than the Bavli. And says the Netziv, you're right, initially it was. The Yushalmi is like the Ksav Elokim. It's like the Luchos Rishonos. But after Bavli having to chisel away on their own and work hard, because there was no Siyata Deshmaya there, the same way they had in Eretz Yisrael. There's no Avir Da'ara Yisrael Machkim. They had to sit there and put that Melos in. But when the Bavli was able to put all that energy in, it surpassed the Yushalmi, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu much rather us than get involved. It's similar to what Rav Weimer is speaking about it on Shabbos in the Drasha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to beat him. Lo b'shamayim, he was so happy when we said Paskin differently than the way Shemayim Paskind. It's like what he's saying, that when he was playing chess with his father and he was making the move, so, and his father said, Nope. And he put it back. And his father wanted him to beat him in chess. I told my wife this story when I got home. She said to me that I would never let my children beat me in chess. Which is true. I wouldn't. I mean, I'm very happy when they beat me. Zevi actually beat me the other day in chess. He did. But I will never let them beat me. If they beat me, they earned it. They earned it. So Zevi earned it. I was a little rusty. He beat me the other day. But when they beat you, you have so much satisfaction when they beat you. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to beat him. Whatever that means to beat him. He wants us to put the amelos. He wants us to chisel out Psalach the second luchos. He wants us to work the land so that we're able to do what he did, create children, to create trees, to create buildings, to create businesses, to create things in such a way of Kedusha to be Masak in the world. So take a look now.
It seems like it's a little like what Bidyevin.
Not Bidyevin.
Hashem didn't want, did Hashem l'chachila want us to do the ego? You know what I'm saying? Hashem didn't want us to do the ego, and that Moshe Rabbeinu should break the
luchos. So take a look now inside the sheet here. Take a look at this. Ramatul Zilber. Otzer Gilyone Divrei Torah. Take a look on the page. The numbers got cut off, I apologize, on the top here, but the one that has a star in it, Me'ata. Looks like this, Me'ata. Start from there. We have just a few minutes left, so I'll read a little bit on your own. You feel free to read the rest of it. But he explains, Me'ata hinei achar chet ha'adam arishon, after Adam arishon sinned, azai nasu ha'mitzos shalom mitzos gashmias yoser. Then the mitzos became more physical. Asher Hashem yisbarach hu ha'pol behem. That, keep in mind, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's the guy doing in yeshiva, right? You mentioned before that, m'locha nasu ha'idei acherim, which means I should sit back, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will work for me. He's my worker. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making grains and bread. Now, after the chet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is allowing me to do what he just did, to plant and to bake and to cook. So he says, the nigzar love shehu lo yifal kokach b'masav. El HaKadosh Baruch Hu Paul Ayad, the way it was before the chait was, I would sit back, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be my shliach, if you will. Yoser me'asher ma'ashu Paul be'atzmo. Hashem would do everything for me. V'inei adah zeh gamkin inen gzeres b'zeh apecha toch alechem. That's the gzera. Because the achra chait, after the sin, Nigzar al ha'adam lasos pulos ke'elu. We were decreed to do the same actions as Asher Kadosh Baruch Hu Pol ayadam od yoser, more so Masher Masher Pol Hu ayde ma'isa mitzvos. That we were commanded to do exactly what Kadosh Baruch Hu did. Fiko Masher Muchach Adam Lechol, that we have to eat. Umuchach Hu Lishon, we have to sleep. Afim Yechavein Bal Hashem Shemayim Mikol Mokhm. Ain't a mitzvah. This isn't a mitzvah. This was the Ma'aseh B'reishis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed us into his world to do what he did in Gan Eden. The person is decreed that he's supposed to work. Because whatever message he got, whatever was driving him, because he couldn't sit in yeshiva, or because he had to support his family, whatever the drive is, that's a psak from Shemayim, you should be working. Tzarech lekabel, you have to, this is a key statement. You have to accept upon yourself, ba'ofen asher hayinu shliach she'akadosh baruch, that you're a messenger of Hashem. Lis'asek binyanam elu, that you have to go work as an electrician, as a doctor, as a lawyer, as a businessman. Like a Kadosh Baruch Hu worked for Adam and Gan Eden, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu did all the work. He had the trees grow and the plants grow and everything built, houses built. That's exactly what we have to accomplish in this regard. Turn the page now. There's so much sheer. I don't want to be bogged down with reading all this inside. Take a look now. V'achein, the paragraph V'achein. Achein gam binyanim elu yesh lo adam chelik b'avoda. Avoda zo haynu kasha yose mitorah u'mitzos. It's a harder path than sitting and learning and sitting and doing mitzos. Da'avoda shimutelas alav b'kach hu l'chavin b'hem l'shem shemayim k'vi yicholosa. You should have shem shemayim. V'shei nosim v'nosim b'emuna. You should do practice with honesty, dignity, integrity. Take a break to daven. You should have a desire to come closer to Hashem. You're zocha, he writes. Ramat Zilber, he's a great tzaddik, he's a rebbe, Sachin in Borough Park. You're zocha to be a kli of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yuchal lepol al yado. You could do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. He's allowing you into his world of cultivating the world. And he says further, ukshinisbone in papashtus, sma osa adamzeh. Hine rov hayom tzarchu lasek b'mischar. Most of them spending, working in my job. This is my taf in the world, to sit as an accountant plugging away at Excel all day long, staring at a screen. My taf is to come to the world and sit behind the computer. All my 70 years of life are being wasted away working behind a computer, talking the phone to some guy and helping make some money. They're special years. I need to buy eternal life in Olam Haba. They're involved in just working. They're not creating any mitzvahs for me, no schar for me. It's wasted away. And this is the, we'll finish off with this. The answer is, Asher lozeh bilvad she'achein oskim heim az avor nitzchios. Not only are they working nitzchios, ela shezeu esek shel nitzchios har beyoser me'atov ramitzos. That they're accomplishing more in the world of work than what's being accomplished by Torah and mitzvos. Now, I couldn't say this on my own. I don't have the shoulders to say this. I don't have the wisdom to say this. Ramata Zilber has both of those to say what he's saying. That the esek shel nitzchios of working in the world is more eternal, harbe yoser min haTorah v'mitzvos. And that's what means, Sameach zvulun b'teitzcha v'yisachar b'olecha. That zvulun is just as happy. He's preceded in the pasuk. He's perhaps happier zvulun as the breadwinner, more than yisachar sitting in the ohel. The zvulun misasik imin yonim, asher Hashem yisbarach hu shepol al yado. Because, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu learns, the Gemara Avodah Zarah says, and learning is an incredibly high thing. But they're able to work in something that I can't do. They could create a world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. V'af, ki mitzad ma'isa adam atzmo hinei ma'isa Torah mitzvos adif. Granted, Torah and mitzvos are better. I'm not going to tell you they're not. But mitzad hatikunim, what's accomplished, what fixes in the world, which we're going to have to speak about some other time, what tikunim is affected by working. But the tikunim that are accomplished by working, Asher Hashem is Baruch Paul that HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps create. Be'esek zeh nif'alim tikunim nal miyoser. They're able to accomplish more in terms of tikunim than what's being accomplished in the world of learning. U'bevada, he wants to make it clear, don't think Rabbi Matta Zilber is against learning yeshiva chas v'shalom. He's not against kolim. Everyone has their role. So he points out, u'bevada ein lomer, don't say, since when I work at accomplishing more minatorah v'mitzos, maybe kolechad yelech lisasik b'mitzchar, we should shut down yeshivas and kolos and everyone should go work because it creates more tikkunim. No, dechol ze lo mari elo achash ashehev psak din apiashkafas haTorah. When you're given that tap on the shoulder, I mean, the way it works, everyone starts in yeshiva, and there's a certain point where you get a message, you get a tap on the shoulder, you should be working or you should be learning. Now, those decisions don't come because I want to learn because I should be learning, I want to work because I want to do more tikkunim. We have to go through life and pay attention to those signs from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when you get tapped to go work, to be a lawyer, doctor, businessman, electrician, whatever it is, realize that what's being accomplished in that work field, says Rav Matta Zilber, is more tikkunim than learning in yeshiva. And that we should be zocha, that as we go through, coming up Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, which is a celebration of the Luchos Shnios, which is a celebration of the Psalacha, the Shnei Luchos HaBris and Moshe Beinu, the Amelis of fixing the world, B'Shibizocha, come to that time, we get back to the pre-Chayit of Adam HaRishon, La'av de L'Shamer, to help cultivate the world with the Gula Shem B'Amit, that's Amen, Amen, V'Amen.